Let's go. Yeah. So yeah. So what do you want to say?
Talking about how we can extend the SLA POC to more SDN related environments. So again, like I'll just repeat myself. So in SDN kind of managed environments or virtualized networks, we can try to apply this SLA monitoring to slices, to network slices that the service providers are essentially leasing to the users or to the customers, whether they are network operators or etc. So, but then the first point would be defining the metrics, the performance metrics that you have for a slice of the network. Okay, this could be like a minimum average latency met, or it could be like energy usage, or it could be, again, like it could be from both sides. So first we have to define those metrics, and then
how you will do monitoring, like because let's say if I'm saying I need, let's say, 100 Mbps something link and that much delay, but the question is like how actually you can do that SLA monitoring. For example, if you want to say that, okay, there's a SLA breach and let's say there's a transaction involved in it, that's fine, but actually what we can do at the SLA monitoring itself.
Yeah, so what we can do there is we can say, okay, so the service provider who's providing the network slice is doing its own measurements, okay, and writing it, proposing it as a transaction to the ledger, and then the service receiver would also do their own measurements, and they would also kind of put it as a transaction. And then we can have like a third party, whether it's the, I don't know, the regulator, or we have to think about it, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good thing that we can add one more layer for the SLA monitoring, that this thing really happened or not. That's true.
Yeah. So that's the way we can kind of, so first we have to define the metrics, then we have to find out how to measure them and how to come to a consensus about the measurement itself. Okay. And then after this point, it would be very similar to what we are doing with the SLA right now. So essentially, instead of the timestamps that we have, so now we are looking at the timestamps, and if those timestamps in average, let's say, they are over the time to resolve promised for tickets in a between two entities, then you raise a problem, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, so that would be very similar to at the end, but I'm not sure if in this short time we can actually do these two levels that we discussed, the two levels to first of all find the performance metrics and then study how we can actually measure them, because because this is the problem that we are actually having in our research center at the moment. Okay, so first of all, we don't know how to measure, like we are very interested because we're doing wireless optical research, okay, for 5G networks, and we've been trying to find a way to measure end-to-end latency in, let's say, like a CRAN network, and there's simply no way to do that except if we actually have an up and running system between the, well, we actually have that in our test sets, but at the end of the day we don't know from whose side we are measuring these metrics and how they're going to agree on those metrics. So these are very hard problems to solve and so on.
Yeah, means I don't know how you're doing this. Like, let's say you have NFVs, let's say in the VRNs, let's say, and let's say on these multiple NFVs in one domain, you have one SDN controller, let's say, and same way you have other domains. And do you have orchestrator as well, or you are doing like hop-to-hop approach?
I think we do have orchestrators. I'm not a test bed person. Yeah, but we probably have orchestrators. Again, we are trying to use Cord. I'm not sure if we're still using it or not, but for some time we used OpenCord, which is an ONF project. But then at the end of the day, what I mean by a network is slice, it's gonna be an end-to-end network slice. So let's say you have your RF and over a PON network, a passive optical network. So when you're leasing a slice, your slice includes the data center resources to process the data, and you have the metro network, and then you have the PON network, the last mile to reach the custom to reach the antenna, and then on antenna resources. So it's an end-to-end slice. That's what I mean. Okay, by when I say virtual slice. And
Okay, and you want to say that how you will monitor that, okay, is this services provided by different data center or not? Is it like this?
exactly. So you have multiple service or let's call them infrastructure providers. Okay, so you have multiple infrastructure providers and you have multiple service providers, and then all of these people have to prove to each other that they are meeting the SLAs that they have promised. Well,
Yeah,
not
I can
SLAs.
understand this problem because I remember we also stuck in it, like when we were doing network slicing in different IIoT devices, for example, windmills, right? So yeah, there was always like, okay, there is an orchestrator, there's an end-to-end slices, but in the real world, like for the POCs, fine that we have everything on one system and we can see what's going on. But in the real system, like how you can prove that, okay, this thing happens, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this I agree with.
What I've learned from my very short experience with blockchain is that, especially with Hyperledger, whenever you can model a problem as a supply chain network, supply chain system, then you can definitely apply blockchain to it and solve the problems in some cases.
So you are saying this end-to-end service can be a supply chain problem,
Yes,
right?
because you have multiple infrastructure providers who are providing owned by, again, the infrastructure is owned by multiple entities. It could be governmental entities, or it could be private entities, it could be prosumers even, like let's say they're generating electricity or anything. And then in this, you have multiple suppliers of infrastructure and resources, and then you have multiple users who are using those resources. Okay. And one thing is the resource allocation problem, and that I think, which is the marketization of the system, which I think the CDR use case is kind of slightly touching it, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So what I understand is that, okay, at the for the SLA monitoring to confirm everything, we can use supply chain, and for the orchestrator part who is fulfilling everything, so that you can bring trust between different multiple parties. There you can use a system like Composer or Fabric where it can store stuff, right?
Again, it's not just about storing stuff. It's about coming to a consensus that these measurements from both sides. I mean, obviously, it's not a realistic idea to measure every single packet's latency by three different entities, and then let's see if they're all measuring it correctly and if they're meeting, right? So it could be random measurement of every one packet in 200 packets that's being transmitted or something. Like these sort of things.
So Nima, I can understand what you are saying. Means we are on the same page, because this is like what I also started my stuff. Like, okay, this is like same thing what I did in my research. And I think it's better to write something on it in white paper. This is my opinion. Maybe we should not. But why I'm saying this, because maybe we can together write something which may be useful in the real world. Instead of going to the, like, we have, obviously we have SLA thing in our pocket, for example. We have a POC on it, right? But can we use POC? That POC in the real world, this is like big question mark, because of course this is a POC only, and there is no real time hitting and nothing going on, right? And if we can write this in our white paper, at least, that how we are solving this problem, and what actually this is the big problem in when you talk about end-to-end network slicing, and when you have multiple operators, then how you will bring trust, right? So this is like a very big question for telecom operators nowadays. But no one is thinking these approaches. Can they solve it through blockchain? So in my opinion, this is like a very cool stuff if we can write something on it that, okay, SLA. Because SLA, what we are doing right now is a very open thing, right?
Yeah.
It can be applied anywhere. Not only in Tesco.
Burger King to see
customers
are satisfied with the time of serving, or essentially this POC is measuring timestamps and
that's true. That's what I was also worried, that should we continue with this, because of course we can do, but it's not a real value, right? It's not have any value in it. Like,
it is a real value. I'm still against going too deep into those network, like an SDN stuff for the white paper, because we'll be opening a can of worms, and then at the end of the day, it's not going to be high quality, because we don't have enough information about it. It requires proper research to see exactly what are we going to measure, and who are going to be the people who are measuring this.
I hope you know about this, that there's a university called Unicamp, and Raphael and Christian published one paper called Blockchain-Based Decentralized Application for Multiple Administrative Domain Networks, which is like a multi-domain orchestrator kind of stuff on blockchain. But the only thing is, what they use is they use private Ethereum instead of Hyperledger, but I think they are working on Hyperledger as well now. But this paper is exactly the thing we are talking about. But we are talking about in terms of Hyperledger, not as a Ethereum.
I've seen that paper. And at the end of the day, we all know that Ethereum is not going to work for that, right? So you cannot put network operators' information on the public blockchain.
But this is a private Ethereum, not public Ethereum.
Okay.
But still, like, Hyperledger is the best for doing all these things. There's multiple reasons for it.
Yeah.
Because again, on the same platform, like Linux Foundation can provide like same platform where they have sent a multiple consensus, right, in different terms. But this is what I'm talking about. This paper is really the thing that what we are talking about. But So I also have idea that what we can do in it. In my opinion, like, of course, we can give it a try as a rough or something, maybe not useful in the future, but let's to see that, okay, can we exchange this or not. But of course, I can talk to, I know Raphael as well, but we can talk to them as well, that okay, what do you think that we can add or what we can remove?
Okay.
uh But in my opinion, like, we should go to one more step instead of focusing on this kind of SLA that what we are doing. I'm much interested in the engine stuff as well. Yep.
I do agree that we should mention kind of SDN or visualization kind of use cases of this. But I would say mentioning that as kind of a future work or
kind of future work. That's a food for thought, let's say, or let's say,
yeah,
we are thinking in that direction as well, maybe like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep.
And so, then, so yep. let's before going too much into details of this, let's see what we are going to do with the white paper. Because I was expecting for more people to contribute on this. How we're going to distribute the workload for the white paper.
I can give but what I can give is like again in terms of networking part only. Like I understand SLA and what I think SLA is only in terms of networking, like where you have multiple telecom op- this I can write means for sure that what we discuss is a future work, but maybe this I will add for sure, maybe in the next week or coming week I will add that how you can use SLA stuff with SGN controllers with and it's a good thought that you gave me is like service function chaining, maybe this I will think or more.
Let's put it this way. Let's say we do a short and brief introduction into SLA. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is SLA? Mm-hmm. And then kind of discussing what are the shortcomings of current networks in the sense of SLAs. What happens? So what are the problems that are being raised by the current traditional system of SLAs? Are the customers and service providers disagreeing because they have different measurements, or they both agree on the measurements, just they're not telling the truth when they're mentioning these metrics. So these are the things that you can mention there, and then the other stuff that we can relate to SLAs. But again, like, we have to be careful with calling those new performance metrics as SLAs, because I've never seen.
But for now, we can say, okay, this is like performance metrics can be done by telcos when they decide or something. But we are talking about very general approach. For example, we are not talking about performance metrics, what parameters we should use. But instead of that, we can say, okay, there's a performance metrics which can be decided by different telco operators. So we will not touch these points, but we can say that, okay, based on that, we are talking about like QoS services on that. And then we can say, okay, this is like, we are not giving numbers, but we are saying, okay, by using these things, you can do SLA management kind of stuff, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is we will not go inside into anything, but let's give a food for thought to people that, okay, what they think that. Maybe some operators can come and then they can say, okay, these metrics we can fill and we can, let's do something on it maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure. Are we going into details of every and each transaction when we are describing the POC or the code?
No. We will not go into the transactions much, because again it depends on the consortium to consortium. So it's better to say, okay, this can be a general, this is a, just a general structure where you have transaction time, SEM, and something. And that can be like explored by different telco operators, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to go in?
No, I also don't see a point going one by one for each transaction. I would say, yeah, but that's the other problem, because this Angular, we can put a screenshots of populated kind of, we can populate the Angular app with kind of values, and I also don't know whether we can use like operator names, like,
can hello? You hear me?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if we can actually use like real operator names there, or should we just use like operator one, operator two?
Yeah. We can say operator one, two, three, and then we can say, okay, this is a very general approach. So yeah. So next week, what I will do is I will add this kind of stuff, and maybe if you can do the like introductions about SLA and all these things, and the work you did, like for example, the flow you put it in a POC, so we can use that as well. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, maybe we have, at least we started with something in our hand, then we can discuss more that what kind of architecture we can talk about more, right?
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah,
and then the next thing, I've raised the PR for the labs, for the Hyperledger labs.
Yeah.
So I wrote a README file. So if someone wants to try to deploy it, and so they'll have, we can actually use parts of that README file for the white paper, maybe, I don't know. And also we can include some deployment information in the white paper. What do you think about that? Like the cloud environments, or?
So today what I will do is I will talk to David and maybe Trishan, that can we get some access to this hardware stuff. So what do you need? Do you need a IBM blockchain or any just hardware?
No, it would be nice to have access to some cloud resources, but I already have my own Google Cloud access, so I'm using that for the moment. Have you checked the Angular app that I generated, the Composer?
Yeah, I checked that.
Yeah, so now that's online and on my own cloud.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the PR, what we are trying to do is like right now I think this directory from the Aman, but this is, I think this directory can move directly to the Hyperledger lab, and then we can accept more PRs. But if you want to accept that PR, I can do that today only, and maybe in the future we will shift that repo to the main Hyperledger lab.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a good idea to move to approve that PR, because
sure,
putting the links, so like the links that I've put there in the SLA is all into my account, and yeah, so it would be better the official account. Yeah,
sure. This I will do today only.
Yeah, okay.
I will accept all the PRs. Yeah.
So that's it. So let's see what we can do for the white paper. And what are the venues that we publish these white papers?
What is, sorry?
So the white paper, Is it published in a particular venue, or is it just for the
website? Yeah, it will be published some. There's a link where all the white papers from Hypervisor are, especially from the working groups and from the different frameworks.
Okay.
So if you want, I will share this with you, and you can see that how other people wrote this kind of white paper.
Sure. Sure.
So for the meeting time, I think this is the fine time, right? I hope so.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, it's so 7 p.m. here, but
okay.
All right.
So what we will do is we will send some mail to the maybe Pete or other guys. Like I forgot to tell Matthews and Aman that we had a call. Maybe they don't know about this. But in the future, I will meet Vinay in our next meetup. So I talk to him and maybe we can discuss more that how he can contribute to the code and to the flow designs as well. Okay. And maybe in the next meeting, maybe we have more people.
Yeah, yep. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Nima. Bye.
Bye. Bye.